This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Kathy Buhlmann.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Kathy, you were born and grew up in this part of the world, I believe.
Yes, I was born in Foxton.
Okay.
My dad was a dairy farmer. Mm-hmm. Near Himatangi.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So.
So was that, when you say a dairy farm, that was in the, 1940s,
1950s? Yes, in 1948.
Okay. So was it a big dairy farm?
Well, those of you who may be farmers would know Himatangi is Carnarvon soil, and it's very tough, sand dune-like.
Carnarvon.
Carnarvon soil.
Okay.
It's very dry.
Yeah, it's sort of sandy,
and,
is it?
Sandy loam.
Okay.
It's tough.
Yeah.
My father worked really hard on that place and developed it.
Okay.
Yes, which is considerable.
So, yeah, because they irrigate there now, don't they? But would they have irrigated in his day?
Oh, we had a system, an irrigation system, but nothing like you would see now. We had a central pump, and that would be delivered underground all over the farm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's
And you had sprinklers around the farm then, or?
No, those kind of didn't exist. Okay. I don't recall sprinklers.
Okay. So did you water the pasture? Did you put water on the pasture? On the grass?
Oh.
On the ground?
Yeah, yes. We were very dependent on the weather. Bear in mind,
this was
going back into the 50s.
Yes, yeah.
Into the 50s, so we were very weather dependent.
Yeah.
Yes. And artesian water.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And I know some people may be in the 30s rather than the 50s, but you would find a dairy farm might have just 25 cows. Was that the sort of situation?
Yeah. 212 cows.
Yes.
I remember that because I was amazed as I got older to find that's a very small farm.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're now talking thousands.
Yes, now we are.
And
yes.
Yes. So.
But in those days, that would be quite normal, would it? About 200 cows.
At Himatangi, it was a average size farm.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So was it just the family working there, or you had people working on the farm too?
My dad, basically, he broke that land in. He was one of the original farmers there.
Okay.
So it was covered in gorse and lupin. Mm. Life was very tough.
Yes.
But he loved it.
Yeah.
And so he transformed it into productive land and made it work.
So how did he get the land there? How did he find himself on that farm?
Okay, because farming was in our family. His father was a farmer also, and on the outskirts of Fielding. Some of you would know Aorangi Marae.
Yes.
And that is our family marae. And that's where my grandfather and grandmother lived on my dad's side of the family. So they were farmers. He was a sheep farmer.
Okay.
And so it was just in my father's blood.
Okay.
And his brother was also a farmer.
Okay,
yes.
Now you referred to the marae, so was your family all Maori or local Maori, or what's the connection?
Yes, our family have lived here, it feels like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That marae, as I said, is Aorangi. And derives from Ngāti Kaufata,
mm-hmm.
and that's reflected in the name of our ancestral home, whare. The whare nui is called Maniaihu, which is one of the ancestors of Ngāti Kaufata. But we are also connected with Rangitāne and the family at Rangiotu. So through my father, yes.
Okay. So are there in that? So is Rangitāne the main group here, and you're a smaller group, or did you come later or earlier or at the same time? Or, I don't know.
The records say that Rangitāne was in this area.
Yes.
Before Kaufata.
Mm-hmm.
Kaufata is derived from Waikato.
Okay.
And Te Rauparaha, of course, he meandered down this way and saw greener pastures because, we were overpopulated up north.
Mm.
And so he brought some groups down this way.
Yeah.
And there are many groups, but they're all derived from up there, from the Tainui canoe.
Yeah.
And Ngāti Kaufata is one of those branches, along with Ngāti Raukawa, Ngāti Toa, subgroups, Ngāti Wehiwehi. Okay. And my grandfather is a mixture of that. We had an arranged wedding marriage, not wedding, arranged marriage between Rangitāne and Kaufata. And the descendants of that are some of my family, my father's side. The family.
Okay, so were there, so when you moved out to, or when you they started farming in the sort of Foxton Himatangi sort of area, was that also part, was that moving away, or was that?
No, not really, because we stayed very connected. Even though we lived at Himatangi, my dad worked there, my father was always taking us back to Aorangi, I would be looked after by my grandparents on the holidays, along with my with my brother Rama and my sister Ruta. And so even though we were farmers, you know, my mother was pretty unique in those days, because my mother was working, and a lot of farmers' wives worked alongside their husbands in these places. That was norm. But my mother didn't want to be a farmer's wife. My mother trained to be an administrator, and she could do shorthand and typing. And so she would travel into Palmerston North. No way was she going to be a farmer's wife.
Okay, so what was her background then, if she had this different attitude?
Well, my mother was also of mixed blood, and so her Māori connections was Ngāti Toa. But my mother's parents died when she was only 12. They were quite elderly. And even though she was the only child between them, my mother had numerous half-brothers and sisters, and she was so much younger. So she married very young to her first husband and had two children, and they died. He died, her first husband died, and she met my father. And so she knew she always had to work to survive.
Yes.
So indeed, she trained in Palmerston North at what they called the equivalent of UCOL now, so tech.
Yes, the tech.
And that's where she trained to do her skills. And then, so as long as I could remember, my mother was always travelling into Palmerston North to work.
Now, you said she was mixed. Do you mean mixed with different tribal affiliations or mixed Maori?
Mixed. Oh, well, we're all mixed, really.
Yes.
Yes. You know, if you get really technical.
Absolutely.
Well, I do know that if you looked at my mother, she had hazel eyes, and her father had blue eyes.
Okay.
So, but I do know his name was Katini.
Okay.
And so he was Maori, for sure.
Yeah.
But
there's mixture
in there. My mother was very quite fair.
Yeah. Culturally, was it she had a Maori sort of cultural upbringing, or was the
mum surprised people because sometimes people thought she couldn't understand Maori, so they'd have a conversation.
Yeah.
In her, while she would be sitting there, and they could even be talking about her, and she would be listening, and she understood everything they were saying.
Yeah.
Because they misunderstood that, even though she was a fair Maori, she knew what they were saying.
So had she grown up speaking Maori in the home?
She didn't speak a lot of Maori, but she understood it.
Okay.
So her parents spoke Maori.
Okay.
I
so
know
she
this.
Grew up with that around her when she was
young. Yes. Yeah. Yes, she did.
Okay.
But she was competent at Kapahaka. She was one of the original members of Ngāti Poneke Māori Club in Wellington. And so she taught me some things. She taught me to do the poi and other cultural things, like even the hula. She taught me to do the hula. She was a very talented lady, my mum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you were saying as well with holidays you go to your grandparents. Now, I know from some of the local European or Pākehā farming families, they would go camping at Foxton Beach in summer. But you were out farming over that way, and you moved the other way for your summer holidays, did you?
Oh, well, I think there's farmers and there's farmers. There's ones that are called rich farmers and there's ones that are not quite so rich. So all I know is when you're a dairy farmer, you're married to the farm.
Yes.
Holidays didn't happen too much.
Yeah. What these would say was he would stay on the farm milking the cows, may after milking go out to spend the day at Foxton Beach, but the family, you know, the mother and children might be there for a month or so camping out there, and there was a lot of people.
No, we didn't like that.
You did differently.
My mother did not like camping.
Okay.
She thought camping was on the farm.
Okay.
So, our world was small then.
Yes.
To me, Hematangi and Foxton Beach were California.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought it was, because that's all I knew. And I thought they were the best beaches in the world until I got a bit older and discovered other things.
Yes. Okay.
And so, yes, indeed, that was our beach.
Okay.
It was so easy to get to. So we didn't have to camp there. Basically, we were just down
the
road.
You were right there, yes. You were there already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you feel that? Were you growing up in a predominantly Maori environment or mixed environment? When you went to school, for example, was it Pākehā children? Or?
Very mixed. Hematangi, Aroa Downs, Foxton. They're all close together.
Yeah.
We had Motuiti and Porirua Marae. And so our school reflected this. There were lots of Pākehā children, and basically most of those kids came off farms, and a lot of the Māori lived around Paranui and Motuiti Pā. My friends were Māori and Pākehā. My best friend was a Pākehā. But I had lots of friends, both Māori and Pākehā.
So did they all
that was our
move. Were they conscious of a difference, or were they just all mixed together?
Oh. Yes, we knew we were different. But I suppose, yeah, we knew we were different, but I guess because my parents were very sociable, my father was on the school committee and all the communities, and Dad was a farmer, and also because we were close to the marae down the road, so we mixed in all these worlds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because my father made a point of taking us back to Aorangi Marae, so we knew we were Māori, but we were mixed with all these other people, and that seemed to be our norm. Yeah. But occasionally there'd be little friction between the groups, and it could become racial for a moment. And then when we wanted the best team, we didn't care what colour you were. As long as if you're brown and you're the best, we'll have you.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So and you think then that the Pākehā children sort of learnt a lot about Māori culture too?
Yeah, but I would say that community out there at Hematangi had probably more awareness...
Okay.
Visually of us than you would in Palmerston North,
which
is there would be families here unless they have a compulsory North visit by the school to a local marae. They really don't. Some families are quite remote and wouldn't have a clue.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what did you think school was like? Did you enjoy it?
I love school.
Yeah.
I thought school... I was a very happy child. I really enjoyed going to school.
Yeah.
But it might surprise you to know that my reason for going to school was that I enjoyed people and I loved playing. I don't recall working incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Playing seemed to be my focus.
Yeah.
Until I became a senior, then it occurred to me that life was getting a little bit more serious. But really, I enjoyed friends. And like I said, I don't recall working incredibly hard. It hadn't occurred to me at that stage.
Yeah. So was there much discipline then? Was discipline very strong at the school?
Yeah, I'm pleased you asked me that.
Yeah?
Yes, because I was subject to straps... I thought it was very cruel. I was only
normal?
A little child, and I had some beautiful teachers. They're memorable, and I had some horrible teachers. And I, yes, Māori children were picked out. It seemed that if there was trouble, it would be if you looked like me. You were probably the troublemaker. And I can recall that you just stirred it up again for me.
So you don't have to talk about it. Are there any...
No, I've tried to forgive some people. No.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have, really.
Yeah. Okay.
I realise that they must have had violent upbringings as to why they would violate children.
But I know in talking to some other people, things like the strap and other forms of physical punishment were really quite common in several schools. But, you know, what sort of thing would you be punished for then? Was it?
No, it wasn't for speaking Māori, as we often hear.
Yeah.
It would be just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Did I say I like to go to school to play?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe it was a reflection of the teaching standards, because I do remember studying clouds quite a lot.
Okay. So now you've had children who've gone through school, your own children. So you've got a point of comparison. How do you see their schooling compared to yours? They were at school in the... 1990s, your children would have been at school in the 1990s.
Yes, indeed.
So that compared to the 1950s, how did it seem very different from your experience?
Yes. I think they've got much more choices, for sure. Much more choices, and I think that's the key thing, is that they've got more choices, and obviously the punishment thing is not the same. And I made sure it didn't happen anyway.
And what about the other activities, like sort of sports and parties and dancing, singing and those sorts of things? Was there a lot of that in your childhood?
I'll tell you what was different. Because we had two marae just down the road in a school town, a little local hall down the way, we were quite sociable in the country. And it wasn't unusual for families to go to events. So, you know, like 2 day, adults go to that, teenagers go to that. Well, out then, at that time, we would all attend a wedding, we'd all attend a party, the whole family. And a child could get up and dance with them, with somebody older. And, no, that would not be unusual.
And what sort of music? It would be a lot more live music, wouldn't it, at that stage?
What kind of live music? Not at the grand scale of my parents, who would talk about big bands. But usually live music. I was always exposed to beautiful music. That had a lot to do with my parents, because my father played the piano, and my mother was also very, very musical, and so we were exposed to a lot of new stuff. And as my mother worked, she actually went out of her way to make sure we were we got opportunities to hear and see wonderful performances that came to New Zealand. If it came to Palmerston North, my mother would make sure we got there. So I went to all the operatic society shows. So I was probably luckier than a lot of children, quite simply because not because we were wealthy, so quite simply because my mother being backwards to make sure we had those opportunities.
So say, compared to a lot of your friends, you would have gone to more of those things, do you think?
Yes, I do. I think so. And as I said, it didn't reflect wealth. It had more determination by my mother. And as I said, she worked. And we gained the benefits of it.
So how did it feel having a mother who sort of went out to work in the 1950s?
Yeah, well, I missed her very much because it was great having her out to work, as in, because we could get nice clothes from time to time. And also she seemed happy. She just seemed happy to be working. But I missed her very much because that meant there'd be no parent around the house. We'd come home. My father would be over the farm. We always knew he was around about several paddocks away, so we all had to be quite responsible, and so my sister Ruta would be in charge, so we had to be quite responsible. So I missed having someone around the home to do baking, cooking, and everything smelled nice when my mother wasn't working. You know, cooking, everything. It was just lovely. So I missed her,
Okay. So did you have chores to do on the farm?
Chores? Actually, I didn't have chores. I didn't call them chores. I just thought they were that's what was expected of you.
Okay. So what,
so I never got paid to do anything.
No, it's, no. Okay.
You're a member of this family, so you all have to do a little bit.
Okay. So what sort of things were you doing?
Well, I certainly knew how to scrub wooden benches, the wooden steps. And
did you do things on the farm?
I actually knew how to bring cows in, and but I would never be doing it on my own. It would be me and my brother helping Dad. It's probably one way to get us out of our mother's hair. Yes, there were other things. I could drive tractors.
Okay.
Yep. So I could drive a David Brown. I could drive a Ferguson. And farmers would know. A David Brown's big.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, the traffic would stop. And they'd see this little girl driving. But my father, it was like entertainment for us. And doing a little, helping Dad. But really, he was amusing us.
Yeah.
And we were very, very responsible. Dad taught us everything.
Okay.
We were not allowed on slopes.
Yeah. Okay.
We could do flats, and I think we were perfectly safe.
Yeah.
I could plough.
Yeah. Okay.
My sister could plough paddocks. We were shown how to do it.
At what age?
Well, we would have been the equivalent of Form 1, Form 2. That would be, say, about 11 and 12. Well, you only... You know, it's not physical. You just sit in a seat, push the buttons, turn the keys on, and off you go.
Yeah.
I could ride horses.
Okay. Did you have horses of your own?
Yeah, two horses. And we had one of those big wooden carts with the big wheels. And that was like entertainment for us too. You know, we didn't have all the toys that our kids have, but that was like a big toy for me. We would all be sitting on the back of this cart with our horse pulling it.
Yeah.
And again, the traffic used to stop to just watch these kids. And we were just having a jolly good time, really.
Yeah.
I feel so sorry for kids these days. They just can't do anything slightly hazardous.
So did you have to sort of get up early and do various things before going to school, or after school there were things you had to do?
So I probably had a few, I had a fairly nice, you know, I don't remember having to, you know, my mother worked really, really hard. She tried to make our lives as nice as she could. No, we weren't subject to slavery. I could milk cows.
I mean, you could, but did you?
Yes, I could do it. We were very young when my dad had a serious car accident. He was hit by a drunk driver. And we was in a coma, so we had to milk the cows along with my older brother, and we had to do everything then.
Yes.
And Dad never ever returned to the farm. That was how serious it was.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.